You can open your Bibles to John chapter 3. That's where we'll be this morning as we begin. Thank you for being here again today. It's been a while since I was up addressing the congregation, and I am thankful for an opportunity to do that. In just a moment, we'll be taking a look at a man named Nicodemus. And I'll explain to you what the purpose and intent of our lesson is. But first, let's bow in a word of prayer and ask God to help us this morning. Thank you, Almighty Father, for our time to come together this day. We gather before you now, Father, in a moment to reflect upon your holy word. And we ask, please, as we read from the scripture, as we examine the truth, may all that we come to understand not only give us direction and purpose and fulfill your will, but Heavenly Father, please let it also bring the results that you desire for each of us in our lives. Let us please not go beyond what is written. Let us please be mindful of all the intent that you have for us to learn. And help us, Almighty Father, please, as we use the things that are part of our journey, to not only draw closer to you, but to fulfill your purpose for each of us in our lives. We do not take our moments together lightly, and we do consider our time studying of your word so vital to our relationship with you. Please let all the things we express bring honor in a way that not only touches our hearts and souls, but all those that we come in contact with. Thank you, Father, for our time at this hour. It's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. The Bible is rich in lessons and stories that tell us so much about what God intends for his creation. This morning I want us to take a look at a man named Nicodemus. And his journey is written in the scripture in a special way. And as we take a look at the interaction that Nicodemus has, not only with Jesus, but also with his message, Jesus' message, I want us to learn something regarding what it means to share the gospel message. Jesus was the perfect example of what it means to understand how we obey God. And as he spent time with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and we'll take a look at some other passages as well, we're going to see the importance and value of not only understanding other people, but finding about Nicodemus exactly who he is. So here's our charge for us this morning as we take a look at the scripture. Our message title is Finding Nicodemus. Finding out who he is, what he believes, and how he approaches God. And then the second part of our message is I'm going to give all of us a charge, myself included, to begin to look for Nicodemus. And they'll understand that as we get to the close of our message. So what does it mean to find Nicodemus? Here we go with John chapter 3, the first two verses. In the first two verses, it says, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. At this point, Nicodemus is someone well known in the Jewish community. He understands the Jewish law. He's a Pharisee. Along with that, he's part of the ruling group of the Jewish council. He makes decisions regarding traditions and things that people will follow. He has a full understanding of what it means to be a follower of God according to Jewish law. So now he comes to Jesus at night, and the first says that we know you are a teacher. In other words, Nicodemus and the other Pharisees and the ruling council have spent some time in discussion about what they've seen regarding Jesus. And what is it they've seen? Well, they've seen the blind receive their sight. He's seen the deaf be able to hear. He's seen the mute speak. He's witnessed the lame get up and walk. He's probably even experienced or seen those who are possessed by evil spirits to be healed or cured, put in their right mind. He calls them miraculous signs, and that's what they are. Who could be able to do these things but someone who has the power of God? So Nicodemus's first sight of who Jesus is what the miracles are. And as he comes to Jesus carrying this message he has, we don't know if it came from the whole Jewish council or if he's doing it all by himself. All we know is he came to Jesus. And of course, as he gets in Jesus' presence, what's happening with this, he says, you know, Rabbi or teacher, as he addresses him in a very honorable manner, you couldn't do these things except that God be with you. And so Jesus begins to give him a little bit of information. He says, I tell you what, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Of course, Nicodemus' response is, okay, the scripture says here, how can a man be born when he is old, Nicodemus said. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again. In a sense, Jesus seems like he's confused Nicodemus, but actually he's actually leading Nicodemus down the road as to what you need to do to understand what the kingdom of God is really all about. And then he says behind that in verse number 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and born of the Spirit. So he's told Nicodemus two times now two important things. First of all, he tells Nicodemus, you can't see properly. You see miracles, and you see things that are out of nature's order, but you still can't see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure this would confuse Nicodemus, and of course may make him think that, well, I'm identifying your power, but what do you mean I can't see the kingdom of God? And then he says, I tell you the truth. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of water and born of the Spirit. So now Nicodemus really has to consider what's happening because he doesn't really have much information to go on. And if I was Nicodemus and had to take some information back to my Jewish brethren, I'd have a hard time explaining. Well, this is what he told me. We can't see the kingdom because we've got to be born of water and born of the Spirit. And they'd probably tell Nicodemus, either you didn't go to him or you talked to the wrong guy. In any event, Jesus is now going to lead him down the path to understand a little bit more about what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. He says in verse number 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus now gives him a full explanation of the whole situation. It's not about the material. When someone receives their sight, it doesn't put them in the kingdom of God. When the lame man gets up and walks, it doesn't put him into the kingdom of God. And so it is with the wind. You can hear it. You know what sound. You know it comes from someplace and goes someplace, but you can't see it. So it is with the Spirit of God in the spiritual realm. We have the physical view, but the spiritual realm is different. And now, Nicodemus, I want you to understand what that is all about. And of course, Nicodemus, for him, he's having a problem with it. How can this be? How can this be? Now, this is how Nicodemus not only brings questions before God, but this is also how we can understand how people see us and view us in our life journey. Carefully, Jesus addresses it. He says in verse 10, you're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you don't understand these things? Now, at this point, not only has Jesus gathered Nicodemus' attention, but he really wants to shake him up a little bit. Because at this point, Nicodemus, being someone who knows much about the Jewish law and all about the prophets, how dare you tell me I don't understand, all right? I'm the one who's the Pharisee here. I tell you the truth. Now, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, many times. He told it to him back at the beginning when he said, you must be born again. He says, I tell you the truth, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. And he says, I tell you the truth again. And here is the very core of the difference between what Nicodemus has seen and what he really understands. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, Nicodemus. But still you people do not accept our testimony. And he says, you people. He's talking about Nicodemus and the Jewish believers. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into the heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now Jesus has used a history of Moses and the people wandering in the desert to bring Nicodemus a little closer to what it means to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. He said this is not about a earthly kingdom or a fleshly kingdom, but a spiritual realm. And it has to do with two things. The first one is the water, and that is sin itself. You remember when he talked about Moses being lifted up, a snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In Numbers 21, as the Jewish nation was, or the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, they became disgruntled. Take us back to Egypt, where the food is better. They called the food that God had given them detestable. Of course, God in his wrath, displeased with the people, sent snakes among the people, poisonous snakes that bit them. As they cried out to God and asked him to forgive them, a bronze snake was made, placed on a pole, and God said, tell the people to look at the snake, and they'll live if they've been bitten. And so it was. What did that represent? It represents the sin of the people. And what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus here is, listen, you have to get rid of sin. You have to be washed. Right? You have to be cleansed in a way that you can now come into the presence of God and enter into his kingdom. That was part of the being born again or being washed. Later on, he gives them a little more information regarding it. And of course, the next few verses that we're going to take a look at, think about this for a moment. Probably the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. The most verse, probably most often mentioned across the world, shown in sporting events, posted on billboards, wherever you find it, on the internet, everywhere. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and who believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. It was said to Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Pharisee group, when it first came. Now I probably don't often think of that, but think of that for a moment for Nicodemus as he hears this message. Because now he gets the spirit part of the message, what it means to be born of the Spirit. And this is part of our scripture as well. He says this to help bring him to a sense of what it means for truth itself. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the Son, in the name of God's one and only Son. So now he gives him the spiritual part, how about enter the kingdom? You have to believe, Nicodemus, that I am the Son of God. And what does that belief do for me? That belief will enter you into a relationship where you know what it is to be loved by God and to love God. So being born again, not only is there removal of the sin, but it also is an entry into a relationship where God's Spirit becomes part of your life journey. Now, how well Nicodemus understood this or grasped this, we don't know. But at this point, Jesus had given Nicodemus the whole gospel message. He's got it all. That's why Jesus came. It's what his blood will do as far as cleansing it. And he knows that the Spirit of God is going to be part of God's gift to him when he believes in Jesus and enters into Christ. Now, it goes a little bit further to help him with it. He talks about him. Here's the verdict. So, Nicodemus, here's the message you need to take back to everyone since you came to talk to me regarding knowing I'm a teacher from God. Here's the verdict. Light came into the world, but the men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Make a decision, Nicodemus. Do you want to live in the light or do you want to live in the dark? Now, I don't know how well Nicodemus understood this at this point. But I think if I was Nicodemus, I'd still kind of be in the dark as to where Jesus is going with all of this. But what he's really doing is just seeding Nicodemus' spirit, giving a little bit of information to let him know that there's a difference between those that will live in the light and those who live in the dark. And he calls those who live in the dark as evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Nicodemus, when you go back to the Jewish ruling council, tell them that sin has to be removed. Of course, the Jewish people would know that. They offered sacrifices all the time for the atonement of sin. But Jesus is telling him here at this time that when you're born of water, when you are cleansed by the blood that I will sacrifice, then you will know that you have been really cleansed from your sins. Whosoever lives by the truth, and now it gives the truth again, comes into the light so that he may be seen plainly what he has done and has been done through God. This closes Jesus' first introduction to Nicodemus. This is his encounter, if you will, with the Son of God and his understanding of what it means to be born of water and born of spirit. How well did Nicodemus get it? How well did he receive it? I have no idea. All I know is I continue to read Scripture and I will see him reappear again. Nicodemus comes on the scene again. But Jesus has put something into his heart, into his mind, to cause him to think about it. We'll turn our attention to John chapter 7. Turn your Bibles there. Let me give you a little bit about the background as we move on to this particular part. In John chapter 7, Jesus is going to the Feast of the Tabernacles. In the Feast of the Tabernacles, there's a lot of people present. There are many people present. It runs for more than one day. And, of course, in the temple courts, there are people not only sharing their faith and their time and recognizing what the feast day means, there's Jesus in the temple and he's teaching. And he's encountering a lot of the teachers and they're struggling with what Jesus has to say. And, of course, in the conversation, guess who appears? Nicodemus surfaces. Now, if you look at verse number 28 in chapter 7. Jesus is still teaching in the temple courts and he cries out, "Yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me." Of course, he's been discussing Moses and the other patriarchs. He's been talking about the Jewish law with those in the temple courts. And then he declares, "You know who I am. You know where I came from. It's the truth." And of course, I'm sure Nicodemus and the other Pharisees are somewhere in the vicinity listening to all that's being said. It says in verse 30, "At this they tried to seize him. No one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, 'When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man has done?'" They've seen the signs, the healings, the miracles. This must be the Christ. This is the one we're waiting for. Look what the Pharisees say. I imagine Nicodemus is with a group. "Heard the crowd whispering such things about him, the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him." We've got to get him out of the temple. He's not going to ruin our feast day. Let's get him out of here. That's what the Pharisees ordered the temple guards to do. But Jesus continues to teach, continues to talk about the Spirit, and he continues to identify the things that are necessary to know God. Look at verse number 40. "On hearing his words, some of the people said, 'Surely this man is the prophet.'" You can imagine the Pharisees are really getting upset now. "Others said, 'He is the Christ.' Still others asked, 'How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?' Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one could lay a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they asked him, 'Why didn't you bring him in?'" No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. I'm sure Nicodemus probably said the same thing when he went back to the Jewish council when he finished that nice discussion with Jesus. No one ever talked like this man before. No one ever mentioned things this way. And of course, the truth has been given to them regarding it. So now Nicodemus appears on the scene. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Has any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, we haven't believed in him. But the mob that knows nothing of the law, there's a curse on them." The Pharisees say, "Why should you believe this liar?" they call Jesus. "We know what the truth is. We're the Pharisees. We're the rulers. We've got the message." Look what it says next. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and was one of their own number, one of the Pharisees, asked, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him and finding out what he's doing?" Nicodemus, from the time he met Jesus on that one evening, is now still a part of the Pharisee group, but the seed of faith has been planted in him. Now he's coming to Jesus' defense in front of his fellow Pharisees. The word of God has now worked in Nicodemus' heart. It was not the miracles that Nicodemus observed. And he probably saw more after his discussion with Jesus on that one evening. It was not the fact that people even got up from the dead. What's really working in Nicodemus' heart at this moment is Jesus' words. They're making the difference. All right? And when Jesus told him, the verdict is, light came into the world, and unless you enter into the light, you're going to remain in darkness, it's beginning to work in Nicodemus' heart. How well has it worked? John chapter 19, Nicodemus comes again. This is the Nicodemus of condemning. I'm sorry, I missed that one. John chapter 19. Later, Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus is now dead, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. Nicodemus went from an inquiring individual on one evening in Jesus' company, hearing the gospel message of what it means to enter into the kingdom of God, to a defender of Jesus on the Feast of the Tabernacles before the Pharisees and the Jewish ruling council. And we should still listen to this man and hear what he has to say because our law says it's required. And now he's at the burial site of Jesus. Now, Joseph of Arimathea is called a secret disciple here. He believes in Jesus, but he doesn't let it be known too widely, except among others who are believers, so he doesn't have to be, he doesn't fear the Jews and the ruling class. So is Nicodemus a secret disciple at this point? The Bible doesn't say specifically regarding him, but I see a different Nicodemus here. And let's think about this for a moment. Jesus is dead. They have in their possession the body of the Son of God. Now, I don't know what happened as they prepared that body for the tomb. But if they got 75 pounds of spices and strips of linen to wrap the body, this was no quick procedure as they handled that body. And why is Nicodemus here? Is he here because he remembered what Jesus said about destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days? Is he here because he heard about Jesus saying when I must be lifted up just as Moses was lifted up? In other words, rise from the grave. I see Nicodemus at Jesus' body taking his time to remove that crown of thorns, pull those thorns from the flesh in Jesus' forehead, cleaning the wound and the blood, and carefully wrapping the scars with that linen. I see him taking Jesus' hands and his feet, probably pushing the torn flesh back into place, both in the hands and the feet, anointing the strips of linen with spices, and just wrapping the hands and the feet. And I think he's talking to Jesus at the same time. I think he looks at the scar in Jesus' side where the spear had entered it and blood and water had gushed out, and he closes the wound as best he can, and again he wraps the body with spices and with the linen. And as he's doing it, I sometimes feel within myself that he's saying, you've got to look right when you get up. I believe he sees a Jesus that, yes, the body is without life, but it's coming to life again. I believe Nicodemus, even though he has observed Jesus from a distance besides his first encounter with him, has come to understand exactly what it is that Jesus has done for him and for the world. And that's why he, along with Joseph of Arimathea, although, quote, secret disciples, believe that Jesus is going to get up from that grave. Now, it's interesting in the accounts that occur in all the Gospels that the women come to the tomb, the men come. There's no mention of Nicodemus. But he must have been in the vicinity when Jesus died because he was right there with Joseph to claim the body. But I believe Jesus, or Nicodemus at this point, believed Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe as he wrapped that body, he knew that Jesus was going to get up from that tomb and that he would walk again. So here's our message for us today. And this is an important one I think all of us should take to heart. I appreciate the comments that Brother Lewis made regarding the way people give. And he's certainly true. We are good givers, this congregation. We do appreciate the way you respond to every need that people have. He made good comments. But there's something else that we sometimes need to do. We need to go find Nicodemus, all of us. Where is he? He or she sits in the cubicle next to you at work. They're in the line in the store when you're shopping. Young people, they're sitting at you with you at the table in the cafeteria at school. Their locker is right next to you. They're in the gym when you're in the gym. They're in the stores when you're in the stores. Nicodemus is everywhere. See, Nicodemus saw the miracles. But what Nicodemus is that we know your conversation and your manner of life. And all they're waiting for is to let them know that they need to be born of water and born of the Spirit. They need to hear the same message that Nicodemus got. They need to know the same things that you and I know regarding what it means to be in Christ. So here's our charge. I want you to start looking for Nicodemus. Many of you know him right now, him or her. It's someone that you've known for a long time. It just needs to know a little bit more about who you are. And you know this Nicodemus because they've come to you for advice in the past. They've asked you for help regarding decisions that are tough to make. That's a Nicodemus just waiting to get the rest of the message. So bring them here. Young people, if you got some young people with you, bring them with you. Bring them to church with you. Let them see you while you bow in a word of prayer with all the congregation. Let them see you take of the bread and the cup, believing in the Redeemer, believing in the one that got up from the grave. At the same time that you do that, let them see you not only engage in giving, but in fellowship with one another. Let them realize what it means to be part of a body of believers that recognizes who Jesus is and what he's done for you and for all of us in our lives. Yes, I believe that we can not only purchase chairs, but we can fill chairs. God will give us the increase. All we have to do is find Nicodemus. You see, the miracles never got anybody into heaven, but the Word of God changed people's lives. Just like the Word of God changes our lives, it will change people's lives as well. And if we live in a world that ever people need some encouragement from God, this is certainly a time. So my message also is, there's one more place we can find Nicodemus. Now this place we look for Nicodemus is a little bit telling, because we have to be honest with ourselves regarding it. Sometimes Nicodemus is in the mirror. You know, some people can say, you know, you're really a good person. There are lots of good people in the world. You're upright, you're believing, you're patient, you're a good person. You're filled with the kind of attitude and nature that people admire and love. But I'll quote Jesus, to tell you the truth, no one enters the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and born of the Spirit. Until you enter into the watery grave of baptism, as Romans 6:3 tells us regarding it, and enter into Christ, your sins remain. And until you obey the gospel call and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and are baptized, you cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. So if you'll do that and share that with individuals and recognize it, if you're here today, why not enter? Why not become part of the kingdom? Now for many of us, we've done that. We're here. But sometimes we can become secret disciples. I've got the truth. I'm good with God. I'm going to make my journey. I know what to do. Now, I'm not disparaging anybody because you've done that. God bless you. Someone gave you the gospel message. You obeyed it. It's a wonderful thing. But if we continue to hold the message and don't share it with others, how good is it really doing? Because you see, when you really know what it is to become a member of the body of Christ and a disciple of Jesus, not only are you blessed and feeling secure in your relationship with him and feeling his love, but he's looking for you to carry out his will, God's will, for his son, that the message can be shared by others and brought to others. And just like someone found us as a Nicodemus, we can find a Nicodemus as well and share the message. If it's one thing I think that would actually fill us beyond the measure of who we are, if there's one way we can really come to realize how much God has done for us, it's when we find Nicodemus. We help someone else come to know God the way we know him. So here's my challenge to you today. If you have not been born of water and been born of spirit, why wait? God is ready for you. He has great plans for you. He wants you to become part of his kingdom. He wants you to fulfill his providence before him. If you are a member of the body of Christ, if you have obeyed the gospel message, go find a Nicodemus. Find someone you know who needs to know God the way you know him. And let them come into a realization of what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. It will be easy. You bring that person to us, it'll all be taken care of before long to be part of the body as they meet us. Maybe you just have them over for dinner. Maybe you take them out for lunch. Maybe you just do something for them that they need desperately to have done for them that day. Whatever it is, find Nicodemus, and God will give you increase. If you're here today and you want to become part of the body of Christ, Acts 2:38, Peter told those who were listening to his gospel message, and they asked him, what must they do? He said, repent, make a change. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Be washed. Be born of water. And then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be born of the Spirit. You can become part of the body of Christ, born of the water, born of the Spirit. And just like Jesus told Nicodemus, you can enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom doesn't mean you remain here forever physically. We go on to eternity, but that's what eternal life is all about, living forever in God's presence. I think Titus 3, 4, and 8 says it the best. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. What a promise that God has given to us. Let's stand and sing. If you want to enter the kingdom today, let it be known. If not, if you just want to be asked for prayer, let that be done as well.